Hey, She Slays listeners, before we get into the episode, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, the Focus Academy. So you know chiropractic can help kids, but you lack confidence in your knowledge or communication skills to educate parents in your community. I've got a solution for you. The Focus Academy gives you the training and education to understand the why behind those wins and challenges you're seeing in clinic. They teach you how to perform a full brain-based exam, how to go beyond just the subluxation, but stay principled in your chiropractic approach and address and understand the consequences on brain development. They take a two-pronged approach. First, clinical solutions taught in a way that gives you full access to a deeper and more comprehensive understanding and breaks those techniques and approaches down into digestible and practical steps. Second, right now strategies you can employ wherever you are in your training. You'll learn how to seamlessly ask and answer the big questions in your clinical exams and re-exams and have it actually inform the whole child approach and care planning in a way your patients will understand. And since you're a She Slays listener, you'll get free access to the Focus Academy's Kickstart program. Just click the link in the show notes to get started on your journey to improving your practice. Hey, She Slayers, and welcome to a very special new episode of She Slays Today podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lauren Brunslick.
And I'm your co-host, not Dr. Kirby Brunslick.
And it is our now tradition to end the year with like the final podcast of the year, technically, because I know we have the best of, but is a meaningless Christmas episode where you will likely learn nothing but feel a lot.
I mean, I think they could learn something if they haven't studied like story ideas and arcs and how people think of building structure and story through narrative.
You're planning on taking this episode a way different direction than my your ChatGPT gave you a completely different outline than mine.
I did not use ChatGPT for any of this.
Oh. Me either. Okay, so today is our Christmas episode. If this brings you joy, I would recommend going and listening to our previous Christmas episodes. Let's see, we have done favorite Christmas movies.
We did a Would You Rather. Was that a Christmas one?
Well, I don't know if it was like no, because I don't think it was a Christmas theme. Would You Rather? Because I distinctly remember a question that involved an array, like fighting an orangutan in a car once a year or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I do believe that.
And that does not seem to have a Christmas theme. So I don't think it was, but I do think it's around.
What if his name is like Rudolph or something?
I think it was around the end of the year, every year that we do this. So I think what it is around this time of year, we're just like, I don't know. Does it feel right to have a serious conversation on like Christmas Sunday? Like it doesn't. Well,
and I don't know if anyone want, you know, like for me, I wouldn't, you know, I'll listen to like scientist episodes of Rogan or I'll listen to Huberman or whatever, but like I don't listen to them right around Christmas. So like if they have something silly, I'll do it. Or like some of my funny podcasts that I listen to will have either Christmas themes or best of episodes. Cause I think they realize like, no one wants to like how to upgrade your patient intake.
Right. Yeah.
You know, right at Christmas. You're not going to do anything with it right away. So
we could take this theme to like multiple months. So like it makes me think of spooky season. So if you are a chiropractor and have a ghost story or have murdered someone and have gotten away with it,
I actually do know a chiropractor who has committed a crime, but I don't know if you want her on.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Keep your mouth shut.
All right.
I don't know. I would actually. Okay. Anyways, she did jail time for that, didn't she?
I believe so.
Yeah. Anyways, and I mean, not Jody Green who we had on. We just had her on too late because Jody was in November, I think.
I don't know if being arrested is necessarily like she didn't do anything wrong.
She
is the problem?
Brought a gun
like,
to Mexico.
But I mean, it wasn't like, I'm going to kill someone in That's Mexico. I think you need someone spooky. And I'm a bad person for spooky because I don't watch scary movies. And I don't really like spooky.
Okay. I am accepting applications for our October 2024 episodes. She Slays Spooky Season. Oh, we could like change the logo and like turn a pumpkin. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of themed things.
Oh yeah, Christmas.
If you are ADHD lady, if you are just listening, I would encourage you to go check out the YouTube version of this, because Lauren and I have themed backgrounds. I think mine wins. That is one thing I did use ChatGPT
debatable.
For.
Debatable. So, I think I would actually like, we're officially going to throw this up as a poll on Instagram of who has a better one. So
I used ChatGPT's video or image creation thing, DALL-E, for this. And I asked it for a cozy Christmas cabin or cozy Christmas bungalow on the ocean for you. And then for me, I asked for a cozy Christmas cabin, and then it gives you an image. And then I said, I need more Christmas. And then I did that. And then I said, like, the most Christmas ever. And it gave me another one. And I said, you're so close, but I need you to pull out all the stops for the most Christmassy Christmas cabin of all time. Like, the fiber of the universe is made of Christmas. And I think it did a pretty good job.
That's literally what the conversation you had with.
Do you not get those on your Instagram?
No.
There's great ones. They're like videos of, like, it's just like, give me a photorealistic image of an espresso dad. And it's just a dad making espresso in his kitchen with, like, kids in the background. And then it just goes, more, give me more. And by the end, it's like a dad floating in the sky with children drinking espresso and, like, a big contraption with, like, 500 espresso nozzles shooting espresso out.
We have different algorithms.
I'm realizing that. I have that with my friends too. They'll send me things and I'll just be like, we are looking at a different version of the internet than each other.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't super prepare. Like, it would be great if we would have, like, a listener highlight or anything like that.
It's Christmas time, babe. We just talk about Christmas stuff.
We don't do shit. Okay. So before we get into our actual topic, it's time for funny, embarrassing Brunswick story of the week. Kirby,
where are you going with this one?
Yeah, I think, Kirby, would you like to share with the audience what you drunk bought on Monday night?
I mean, I wasn't that drunk.
No,
but...
you weren't. Okay. You weren't. I just don't know how else to explain your behavior.
So, backstory, there is no snow in Wisconsin right now. It is one of maybe 3 or 4 Christmases I can think of in my life, my long 38 years, where there's no snow and, like, no snow on the forecast.
And it's December 20th. Like, we are not ahead of schedule, people. We with this recording, like, life is happening.
So, and the girl we've been talking about as a family, that the lack of snow is kind of, like, hurting for us to get into the Christmas season. The girls have both been talking about the lack of snow. Ty mixes in with our prayers every night. She also prays to Santa in addition to Jesus and asks for snow. And we have this big Christmas tree walk charity thing that's on the clinic front lawn that is less magical because there's no snow. So I started looking, like, how can you make snow? And there's these cheap, like, machines that you can pour the chemicals into and it makes fake snow.
Cheap?
But that's not what I'm... $200, $250 that make fake snow. It's like for snow at a party inside or whatever. But then I did find a company that makes... They also make industrial snow machines for ski places, but they make a residential version that if you have an air compressor and a power washer and access to a hose, you can for the... Do you want me to say the price?
You might as well. Everyone's going to look it up.
This includes the rush shipping, but for the low, low price of about $800, you can get this wand that will make, if the conditions are right, it still has to be below like 28 degrees, which it gets that cold every night here. It just gets too hot in the day. You can make, I think they said, like, on a 12 by 36 foot patch, it'll do over 2 inches in an hour. So my plan, it's coming today. We'll post a video if we get it.
Oh God, we will post videos.
But I want to blanket the front lawn of the clinic in snow so that people have a more magical time in the Christmas tree walk. And I also want to give our girls snow for Christmas at our house.
The spirit of Christmas is very strong in you. I love it so much. So much. I can't
it's
even
favorite
be,
time of the year.
I can't even be mad because we've spent money on worse. Oh, yeah. Well, and honestly, my brain immediately went to, like, okay, when will we be done using this on Christmas? I bet you I could rent this out on Christmas Day. I bet you we could make it back on Christmas Day. I'm not going to, because we have enough things happening right now, but like,
Well, I mean, there's two ways to think about it. Enough people around here do own like pressure washers and air compressors. So like you could rent out the thing and just be like, you go do it. But then there's the other market of people who are like, I don't have that stuff, or I don't want to do this. And for a much higher fee, I could go do it for people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it would definitely pay for itself in a day. If I did two lawns, I would charge $500.
Right. Each. Yeah. Yeah. I think we have our seventh revenue stream. Although one of the reels I wanted to make for a long time is me consistently coming up with businesses, and Kirby just consistently reminding me, that's not passive income, Lauren, that is not passive. Like, but for $500, so, okay. Well, I don't think we have any updates. So I think we're just praying.
All right, let's do it. Deep breath. Be wherever you are. Dear God, thank you for this time of year. Thank you for the gift that was your son coming and being among us. Thank you for the family and the connection that we especially focus on this time of year and the reason to get together. Thank you for this beautiful woman I share my life with. Help us to get through the stress, not take things too serious, slow down amid all the chaos, and just connect with you and those around us. In your name we pray.
Amen. Okay, so speaking of be where you are, when you said mm-hmm. that, like this beach background, like mm-hmm. would you ever be on a beach for Christmas then? Like you have,
I would prefer not to. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying never. Life happens.
One year you and I went to Mexico, like very close after Christmas. I think it was probably like the 27th.
Yeah, how'd that turn out? Okay.
I don't know if people are ready for that story of how Kirby almost got his foot amputated. Like literally yep. We almost thought we were going to amputate Kirby's foot 6 to 9 months. It would have been August, 8 months yeah. after.
Long story short, I fell on a cactus. It embedded in my foot and they thought I had a bone infection yep. and had to have surgery to have it taken out.
But you didn't. But you did have the cactus. You did have cactus in your foot 8 months later.
There's still cactus in my leg. I can feel the bumps.
Anyways, but you did not enjoy the Christmas season enough because you were focused on being in a swimsuit like December 27th.
Yeah, and we were like packing and doing all the logistics for like leaving the day after Christmas. And yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Okay, well.
Never say never though.
Never say never. All right, so the theme that my ChatGPT came up with for this is Christmas-themed, Christmas movie common tropes in Christmas movies. There we go. And the lessons that we're supposed to learn from them, or basically why it's a common Christmas trope. So whether you like it.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. You want to do like you go, I go?
Yeah, why don't you can go ahead and start, because you prepared for this more than me.
Well, I was just thinking through all the movies, but I mean, one is the obvious. It's kind of the quintessential among many of the movies is the unrelenting Grinch who learns his lesson. So like literally the Grinch, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge in all variations. The Christmas with the Cranks dad could be that of like, he's just over it and he like doesn't want anything to do with the season.
Is this where like the overworking mom too?
Yeah.
I think that could be different.
I think that might be something different because they don't seem anti. Like, I think the element I was keying in on was like the person who says like, I hate Christmas, like actively, you know, like the Burgermeister Burger and Santa Claus is coming mm-hmm. to town. The boss in National Lampoon's like wants nothing to do with it. I would even say like the mailman and Klaus, like the guy who takes the mail job, who like actively does not care about it and is like using the holiday to his own ends, but then like learns a lesson and then eventually comes to love Christmas. If I had to say a lesson beyond like once you accept or once you get past your own grumpiness, you can get into the magic of the season, I would say almost all these stories go into a background of trauma that has made them feel that way. So there's a lesson for like the general public of like seeing
holidays aren't always happy for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think every iteration of the Grinch shows some kind of trauma, except the original, like the 20-minute cartoon.
Yeah.
Like that one doesn't, but every movie version has shown like the trauma related, you know, Scrooge, they go back to his days in the boarding house or whatever, where he's in the school, you know, the Meisterburger tripped on a duck. So he's.
You really did your research for this over the last 38 years.
And this is weird. This is my least prepared because we've watched less Christmas movies this year than any other year.
Yeah. Because of no snow. Okay, so like there's kind of, I was going to say, because there's trauma as a reason that people are not excited for the season. But I feel like there's also the pointing out of that, like Christmas is being, we're celebrating the wrong things. So there's almost like a hatred for the busyness, the stimulation, the consumerism, because like the dad in Christmas with the Cranks is more that, just like we spend all this money, we do all these things, and his isn't trauma, but like it is, like he kind of comes across like that Grinch of just like this is too much and I am boycotting it.
Well, and I mean I think that's the thing too with that one of, they made like a financial decision and then they have trouble sticking to it. So I can really relate to that guy of like, you know, we're going to buy a sauna and that's going to be our Christmas present to each other.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hundreds of dollars of gifts that got added on top of that later.
Well, yeah, that is true. Yeah. We have learned that lesson twice now. That was going to be Kirby and I. We were not going to do any gifts for each other. And we don't spend as much as like, if we would combine how much you and I spend on each other, we don't spend as much as the sauna was.
Oh, yeah. No. But,
so like it was like a recognition of like, this is a big purchase. This is how we're going to like justify it. And then we just went and bought presents anyways. We did that with the girls. I think one of the first years that we went to Mexico with them was just like, all right, we're going to do this experience. But, you know, there's going
to
be.
Or was it the year we took them to Disney and said like, but there's not going to be as many presents. And then there were
no, because Disney was right after Thanksgiving. So there's no way I would have agreed to like a trip we took a month ago is going to be why you don't have. Yeah. So there's that lesson that I think we've learned, the lesson that we are bad at not doing the presents. Oh, I do. Ooh, this would be a good time for me to tell everybody about my genius Christmas card idea. Are you guys ready?
Okay. I'm curious too. Wait.
Yeah,
you start
know
talking
this.
And I'll remember.
So this is a top secret thing. So hopefully nobody who sends me a Christmas card is listening. Although like Denise sends me one and Christy Wick sends me one. Okay. Our family only does Christmas cards every other year. And it's awesome. Okay. So here's why. So Christmas cards, I mean, they've actually gotten cheaper. I feel like there was like a peak where people were like paying for foil on the inside of card, like cards were getting like $3.50 a piece. You were giving them to the person who checks you out at Target. So they've recovered a little bit, but so they're a lot of work. You know, they're just a lot of work. They're an extra thing. So we send out our Christmas cards and we get on everybody's list. They're like, oh, we got a card from the Brunswicks. And they like write down our address and they send us one. And then next year, they come to their list of addresses and they send us a Christmas card, but then we never come. So now the very detailed people, I think there are some people who have no idea, but I do believe that due to inflation of Christmas cards, there are people who keep track. And if they don't get a Christmas card from you, you're off the list. So, okay. So the year we don't send one, We're off the list. We're not sending the Brunswick's one next year. But then guess what happens? We come in with a Christmas card and they're like, ah, shit, I didn't send one. And so then they frantically send one to us. And then we like get these like late Christmas cards and we can tell like, ha, you weren't going to send us one until you got ours. And then the next year we don't.
Ooh, you have a very transactional view of Christmas and human relationships.
I'm just trying to minimize the amount of stuff to do. It's just so much. But like, I also really like getting Christmas cards and I don't want to stop getting Christmas cards. So this is my like meeting people halfway of like, I'll send you one every other year. If you want to go every other year with me, you can, but please don't.
Yeah, you are something.
The lesson, the whole thing is unwrapping Christmas tropes. We'll get to whatever trope I am. All right, my turn. So mine's less, okay. So this is the idea of going from big town to small town. The like returning home is always in like a smaller, quaint town where they always have snow, by the way, but mm-hmm. like things move slower. You run into people from your past. There's always so this is like random
the hallmark. Yeah.
No, so like I feel like that's a thing in bigger ones too. Isn't it? I don't know.
It's in the Cameron Diaz one. What's that one called?
Oh, well, The Holiday.
Yeah.
She goes to a smaller town, but there's really not returning to her past. Not Renee Zellweger, Titanic lady.
Kate Winslet?
Yes. She goes to LA. So like, it's not really. So I guess it is more of a Hallmark trope, but like it is definitely a strong theme of like going to your small town home. Like it's almost like supposed to be this like step in. You're this, like, you've made it and achieved, air quotes, everything. But you realize you go home and, like, the one thing that you are missing is, like, the real important thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a good lesson.
Yeah. Maybe for some people who send their Christmas cards every year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a theme in almost all Christmas movies is, like, finding what's truly important. So, like, that's another route to get to it, you know?
Are you saying that my trope isn't trope enough?
No, I'm saying that's a super famous one. I think you're spot on with that. I think it's especially within a certain genre. I think Hallmark's probably made that movie 50 times.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I have not watched many of them though. And the ones I have, I can't like recall off the top of my head who are the characters, but
yeah, there's not, I mean, they're pretty predictable. It's kind of like, there's a new one that was just on Netflix about, well, they did it through like the lens of a gay guy coming home and his mom's like hooked him up on a blind date.
Oh yeah, we watched that one, yeah.
Yeah, you came in halfway through. But yeah. Like he brought the gay friend home with him who he'd never actually seen. You know, it's a little more of a, she's all that like take off the glasses moment of like, you've been in front of me the entire time. Poor hot guy that they use in those as like bait is like still single and alone. But so there's my trope. Yours, your turn.
Oh man, which one do I want to go with next? I'm going to go with, it's kind of the counter to the first one I mentioned. It is the jolly simpleton, who just loves Christmas.
Okay.
And like nothing can deter him. So like the nephew Fred, in A Christmas Carol, who like invites Scrooge to dinner.
Yes.
And no matter what he says, how many times he hears good afternoon, he still keeps his Christmas spirit. Elf throughout the movie, Elf is, mm-hmm. is kind of that of like, the Christmas is in them no matter what, and nothing can do anything. The guy that Kenan Thompson plays,
yes.
in The Grinch, the
I
neighbor.
Love him.
Grinchy. but I think it's a good character, and it's I like the lesson of it too, of like if you truly have the spirit, and you know, I could get philosophical here and say, like, if you have God within you, if you have that like connection, not that you're always happy, but it's coming from in you and not from the reaction of others. So you can be in the holiday spirit regardless of if your uncle's a jerk or your neighbor's the Grinch or, you know, your dad's on the naughty list. You can be sad for them. You can want to help them, but like the inglowing love is in you.
So I would never even attempt to be this person, but I would definitely say that this is something that you would idealize as like something that you would love to be for other people. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you do with that? I mean, you did buy an $800 Christmas wand, but you're trying.
Yeah, I don't, I think I do generally well with it. I think I am too prone to ups and downs in like general mood, but I think that's what most of my like philosophy, religion, meditation, all that stuff is always seeking an equanimity of that. I think that's where I differ is I'm seeking equanimity and not necessarily like bliss all the time. But if I can keep myself from going below a 5, then when I go to like 7 and 8, it's usually like a lot of joy, a lot of generosity, and just loving people.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes, so are these people, these characters that you talked about, do you mm-hmm. think that they, if they're at like an 8 or 9 for joy during December, do you think they go into like a 1 or 2 on December 26th? Because I have seen on some years, like you experience a lot of sadness on the night of Christmas, like Christmas night, because it's like all over.
Yeah, Charlie and I go for our sad Christmas walk. We talk about how we're sad it's over and how we didn't appreciate it enough. And we just want the magic back. Yeah, that's where it's tricky with, I would say, I mean, because they're movie characters, it's really hard. And because like—
Because they're fictional, they probably don't go into a depression. Well,
and because they're, in all the stories, they're getting exactly what they want at Christmas. So it's almost like the beginning of a new joy versus like, they don't know that it's going to go downhill from here. The neighbor in Grinch now has a generous and connected Grinch. You know, Elf has his family and Jovi, and Fred finally got his uncle to come to dinner. So like now they're starting the rest of their life, you know, having this actual relationship. So it's difficult to compare with the characters when like they weren't starting with, I have everything, everything is good. They just got something amazing as the story ends. So it'd be tricky to put myself in fully their shoes and go like, maybe in like 5 years, you know, when like the Grinch is just an old buddy, you know, then maybe the neighbor guy is like, okay, Christmas is over. That makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. So you would say that the lesson in these characters is like kind of the universal lesson to draw out the other 11 months of the year is that joy is really dependent on yourself and to not seek on others and around you. Okay. Okay, I like that. I'm realizing from yours that my ChatGPT really like didn't give me good. So let's just go on with your third. What's your third?
Let's jump down to this one because it's only in a few, but it does show up. And I do think the first one impacts the other ones. It's the life would be better without me. So the most famous.
What? But then depressing shit are you watching?
But then they learn that it's not. They learn the impact of themselves. So the classic one is It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, like, okay. And can then you name another one?
Deep cut, Shrek Forever After, the Shrek Christmas movie. He's really stressed. He wishes
that he could just be going. You had to like look that up.
And then Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas. There's the one where Pluto's gone. And then he realizes like that how valuable Pluto is, and everyone goes to look for him because it's not a holiday.
Oh, Olaf
too. Yes, I didn't even have that one down.
So as I was just mortified, like, oh my god, everyone's gonna know I am married to such a dork. I'm like, oh wait, Olaf is also
the Olaf Christmas one where he's looking for traditions, and then he loses it all, and then realizes he's the tradition. So like, there's that lesson of thinking you're unimportant. Or that you've messed everything up.
This is a really Enneagram 4 thing of like, and then you find joy that like you're the center of it. Like,
not that you're the center of it. I mean, in many of them, it's when you're gone, you realize the impact you have on all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, so, it's definitely a trope. It's definitely a thing.
But it is kind of selfish. It's kind of like, and like, or self-centered of just like, oh, now you're happy because you realized that everything you were needed. I don't know.
Took the most cynical view of this. I think this is people who are just thinking they're trying to get by, and that in the end, no matter what they can do isn't enough, and that it would be easier for everyone if they just weren't there because they're messing things up. And so I don't think it's necessarily selfish and going like, the selfish thing would be like, everyone's going to miss me when I'm gone.
Oh,
it's almost the reverse, going like, no one's going to miss me when I'm gone. And then they realize the impact in all the small things that they've done through their life.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's not my favorite. Right. If you try pulling an Olaf or a Pluto around Christmas, I think that's what it is like, I'm just picturing you doing this. And me having to spend my Christmas morning with our girls, like, super sad, looking for you, I would.
Yeah, because that sounds like me.
I'd just be furious. Just like,
leaving things to other people. No, that's not about to happen.
Okay, so let's see. I kind of have one. So there's the, like, overcoming differences, like, there's conflict. So this is the, like, fighting with the mother. All of mine are very Hallmark, I'm realizing, of just like the fighting with the mom, or there's that, you know, there's just the conflict. And then like at the end, you realize we really didn't have any differences. So I would say that on a more global scale, this is that most of the stuff that's in the news is petty shit. Most of the stuff, not all of it. Mm. And most of the stuff that we fixate on a daily basis is really, really unimportant. And there's mine.
I'm trying to think of, so like, yes, it is very Hallmarky, but there is, it's, you know, it's the enemies becoming friends thing. I forget, in Jingle All the Way,
like,
did they become friends
alone
at the end?
Home Alone is kind of the classic, so I don't know that I would say it's only Hallmark. Like,
wait,
what?
Do you think the robbers are Kevin's friend at the end?
No, I'm talking about his mom. With his mom.
I saw.
What would you say the overarching trope is in Home Alone? If it's not, like,
yeah,
I don't want my family. Oh, actually, us fighting was stupid. We do.
Yeah.
Want.
Except you should fight with Uncle Frank because he's a jerk.
What the hell? And like, punish Buzz.
Yeah.
Like,
people need to stop buying Buzz's shit.
Yeah.
And see him for who he really is. This is fun.
Best episode. All right. Your turn.
All right. I have one that, or it's like kind of two that are tied together. Either the too old believer is rewarded, or the kind of young skeptic gets turned into a believer. So like, they're both in one movie in The Christmas Chronicles. The little sister is the bordering on too old believer, who then like is rewarded with like actually meeting and getting this entire experience. And her brother is like the becoming an adult too fast, like, all of this is bull. I don't want to decorate for Christmas. I don't want to hang out with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Another too old believer is always the elf, but he's seen Santa, so I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
Other skeptics that came to mind, Neil in the Santa Claus. I liked his, we just watched it last night, the moment where he says, Santa?
It's
so funny. The little girl in Miracle on 34th Street, like, she's very like precocious and worldwise. And even though she's sick, she doesn't believe. And then eventually finds out, you know, that she is meeting the real Santa. I would say Ryan Reynolds in Spirited kind of fits this, of like, I understand the world. Like, that movie plays with a lot of like,
I would say Ryan Reynolds is actually more the first trope of the Grinch.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he had trauma. Like, so I'm going to say this in a very safe way. We should have like put a disclaimer on the beginning that this is a safe episode. I think that one of the reasons for that trope is that it helps situations that parents might find themselves in. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger message there, what do you think the bigger message besides like, just like, we're just going to throw a bone out to the parents?
I think, in all these movies, they do bring in all these other themes of family and connectedness, and that, you know, Christmas isn't just exactly how the nuts and bolts of how like Santa does things, but they always weave in underlying messages of forgiveness, family, generosity. And so I think in those, there is the deeper core of like, if you are good and you really believe, let's substitute belief in Santa with like, again, like connectedness to spirit. Like if you are truly good and you're holding on to that, don't let go. Like you will more likely, if you can hold on to that, you will help those around you. And if you're holding on to skepticism and, you know, everything's crap and I know how the world really works, mm-hmm. like, are you truly happy? Like, mm-hmm. how's that going for you, being quote unquote right in seeing the negativity of things? Like,
yeah. And I feel like, especially since this took like a Christian turn type of thing, you know, there's almost like this, I don't want to be embarrassed or mm-hmm. wrong. Like there's this defensiveness to like getting caught being not vulnerable, but like childlike or, you know, naive, mm-hmm. naive. And so there's like this defensiveness to the ego of like, I don't want to get caught believing in something if it's not true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, I don't want to speak for atheists or against atheists, but like, that's a lot of the arguments I've heard of just like, it's silly or like, you know, like who would believe in fairy tale stuff? And it's like, if that makes you happy and you're truly kind in your heart and you feel really, really good, then I am very glad for you. It's not my experience.
Okay, I have one. And our entire awesome. Family took this to an extreme the other day. It was really fun. I just want to say that like having an 11 and a half year old, she's almost 12, and she's a very tween.
Yeah.
But also she's like going on 45. But we played with the trope of the workaholic mom.
Oh, and yeah, so, okay, that was so a fun conversation.
It's just a fun conversation. So that was my point in bringing her up, is like, that was like this joyous moment where she like was engaging and talking with us and we're laughing and just really getting
we almost had an outline to a screenplay by the end of that car ride.
Yeah. And then we realized Hallmark had made it a million times. But the idea was, okay, so like the rules were, we were going to a small town. We were going to my hometown.
Yeah.
Right. And I had like a deadline with work. Which ironically, like Ty literally asked me the other day in all serious, nothing to do with this trope storyline, like, are you going to work on Christmas Eve and Christmas? And I was like, no, honey, I'm not. And she's like, okay, good. And I'm like, has mom been working a lot lately? And yeah, I'm like, oh, fuck. But that's why it was funny, is like, it wasn't that distance from our lives. But yep, so workaholic mom, she's getting bad reception. She's mid-project or like coming to a deadline. And she just has to be so inconvenienced to go home to Christmas. Now, this was a funny thing, was that you were not allowed to play. So as a dad, you were not allowed to have many lines.
Yeah, for some reason, Charlie decided that I was not a main character.
No, not a main character.
Very back, what did she call me, tertiary character? Who had minimal lines and like basically just like in the background putting up the tree,
loading the car with presents, mm-hmm. taking the kids so I could finish a phone call. And then we thought maybe we could get Ryan Reynolds, since there was really only two lines to play that. And I was like, all right. But yeah, so, oh, and then there was the moody teen tween, who really was like one of the main conflicts of the movie, was like the mom-daughter thing, which as I'm talking is like kind of is a thing.
Yeah, moms and daughters, especially at that age, have to like find a way apart from each other and back together.
Yeah. And then the child, the younger child, who has, again, no lines, but is always in a screen.
No name. We decided no name. No yeah, that's name. Right. We decided no name. It would just be called iPad Child in the credits.
So what is, I mean, is that just supposed to be the like quintessential modern day family? Is that just what that our society has kind of come to?
Yeah, I think so. In movies, they will always want to make it somewhat relatable.
Because they definitely do this with The Working Dad, too. So, like, that is kind of Elf. And so it's not always mom.
Yeah. And I think with Hallmark, like, why they come across so cheesy is because, one, they're making them fast. And two, they want them to be super simple to understand. So, like,
Miracle in 34th. Sorry.
Yep. Hardworking mom. Mm-hmm. Yep. That one, I think, does a better job because they do a little bit more character development. So like, she's not just a hardworking mom. She cares very deeply for her daughter and tries to show that in different ways. She has different interactions with the Santa that like move her along. Mm-hmm. I think when people talk about Hallmark movies as being cheesy, it's because they take each of these characters and then they boil them down to like the essence of that and then let them only be that.
So, okay, well, let's move away from Hallmark then and just take the scenarios of like the overworking dad and Elf, the overworking mom and Miracle 34th. Like, it's just kind of the like, you gotta slow down. That's the takeaway.
I think it's a challenge of like they've chosen the, you know, not to bring it back to religion, but like that's an easier frame to look at it through. They have fully chosen secularism and egoism and rejected spirituality.
I bet they don't send out Christmas cards any year.
I mean, if they're, you know, maybe they do, but it's just for show.
Like, I bet you Monica could send out our Christmas cards every year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, wait, they have to be mailed.
You can pay.
Oh, I suppose pay to have them like shipped from some facility in America.
Yeah, you can like ship them directly from Walmart, or they're just all come from the Philippines.
That would be way funny. Cost a lot more though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You were saying.
So when I was breaking down the entire ethos of ego versus spirituality and how this is a common theme throughout all time and maybe all stories.
I agree.
Boil down to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry I cut you off.
Oh boy. Anyway, you got any more?
Yeah, I might interrupt you if I think of one. I do really want to watch Miracle on 34th now.
Yeah, I do too. I know you like the new one and
can you even call it a new one anymore?
Oh, God, no. It's from like 1992 or something like that. All right. I think the last one I have written down is the unexpected / disrespected character turns hero.
1994.
So, 94? I said 92.
Is it just me? Something. Or like, have we asked that question a lot lately? And like all the best movies came out like 93 to 96. Like the film industry was nailing it during that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they weren't just all superhero movies then, so.
And we, yeah. Okay.
They're our favorites because we're of that age. You know,
no, the movies, it's because they were the best.
Sure. I would put Spirited and Christmas Chronicles up there with a lot of those classics.
So I was going to ask, I don't remember what your five movies were or my five movies were, but
I don't either.
Do you think any of the like, I think Christmas Chronicles 2 had already come out. So, but like Spirited had definitely not. Do you feel like there's any new ones?
I think Christmas Chronicles might have gotten onto my top five already.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think Spirited might be in there too. Of like, we've watched it twice this year Mm-hmm. And that's like at the detriment to, we haven't watched some real classics.
Yeah. It's entertaining. So we like listen to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know what? A lot of people probably haven't watched this movie because it's on Apple TV.
Oh yeah. I didn't think about that. It's worth signing up for Apple TV.
Oh, it's worth signing up.
$5 a month.
I would say it's one of my top five now. I like it a lot. And it's got Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds. And it's just like kind of a weird twist on A Christmas Story.
Yeah. It like turns it all around, kind of breaks the fourth wall. But I also think it updates it really well, because like I was thinking about that when we were watching, when we went to the play, The Christmas Carol, of Scrooge's like only focus is money. And that's not, and at the time, like that was truly like the currency of the realm. But now if you just said like someone just wants money, like it doesn't ring as true, because there's ways
people
to,
can't
like,
see themselves in Scrooge, because they're like, well, I don't care just about money.
Yeah, because we have all the, we already have all the comforts and more money. Like, yeah, there is the focus dad and elf or whatever who just wants more money or whatever, but it doesn't ring as true and it doesn't teach the lesson of them. And now like the currency of the realm is attention, and you can see how everyone wants attention and they want, you know, to be more influential. So like the him being like the person who is just always seeking how to guide people's attention for his own gain is like truly the modern version of Scrooge.
Mm-hmm. Also, I learned that nobody's going to get this if they haven't seen it, but there's a song in there that I thought was real catchy, where Good Afternoon was an old, like, nasty thing to say to people. And when we went to The Christmas Carol, it was kind of like my Amazing Grace realization of just like, oh, that's why they wrote that song in Spirited, is because he says good afternoon in A Christmas Carol. And my entire family, including our 9-year-old, just looks at me as like, duh, you didn't get that? And I was like, no. And I think that's when you said like, what is life like through your eyes?
It must be fun to be surprised all the time.
Oh, it really is. There are so many times in movies that like, I'm just like, I have no idea what's going to happen. This will happen in like historical fiction as well. Historical fiction. I'm just like, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, let's go watch Napoleon and I want to see what your reaction is.
I have no idea. None.
I love you.
I skipped the third grade.
I don't think that's when they teach you about Napoleon.
No, it's when they teach you everything I don't know in life is the third grade. So, all right. You got anything else magical that...
I don't think I do. I think those were my big hits for this. I hope we did a good job. I hope I want to hear what other people have to say. So message Lauren on Instagram.
Can you hear Maggie having a bad dream right now, or a good dream? I don't know what she's, but poor little Maggie is next to me having a little dream.
Oh yeah, I just heard her squeak.
Hey, it's okay, baby. It's okay. You're chasing the cat. So I think you should say some nice parting words on the podcast and like kind of in departure, because this is the last episode of 2023.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. First off, for another year. It's crazy that we started this, 4.5 years ago now? Uh-huh. 3.5 years ago?
Episode like 245?
Yeah. Yeah. So... it's been an amazing adventure, and the people that you've gotten to meet, we've gotten to meet through this, and the connections, and you know, it leading to the Multi-Passionate Chiropreneur and the amazing people that we've gotten to meet through that, and the lives changed. I could never have predicted this. If it was a movie, it would be like almost too cheesy to buy that, like, we just set out on this little task that we thought was going to be a hobby. And now it's such a big part of our lives and such a big part of a lot of people's lives. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for listening and all the people who have interacted with us on this journey.
Oh, thank you for saying the vulnerable, nice things. I do that to Kirby all the time. I'll do it in the middle of a team meeting or something, or at the end of a team meeting. I'll be like, Kirby, you want to say some words? Say what is in my heart, Kirby. Please just say the nice things to the people No, and I don't know. I know that, I don't know how to say this, but like, I don't want to keep having the same conversations with the same people that other podcasts are having. And so like in 2024, I want to have great conversations. And if they happen to be with people that are on every other Cairo podcast, that's fine. But I want to have a different conversation with them. I'm just not looking to continue having on like, oh, tell me your secrets to success in your chiropractic clinic and like that. I've figured it all out. And so I just hope for a continuation of unique, vulnerable conversations. You know, and if it is like industry bests, just sharing vulnerability. And because I think that like there's plenty of certainty. Let's just say there's plenty of certain guests. And I just want to continue for our audience to be able to see themselves in me and see themselves in the guests and just become, I don't know, more okay with exactly their journey and what they are and becoming. And so I think continuing to parade like, this is the best of, and this is their path. And if you do it, you can be just like them is just like, ah, I don't really want to be here for that. That sounds terrible.
Well, I mean, and those things are great, but there are also a lot of that already out there. So you can find that if that's what you need. Yeah.
We'll continue to be weird. That's the plan. Maybe we'll get, I'm going to get weirder. I want to get even weirder.
Have me on more. We can go there.
Oh, no. You're too weird. No. All right, She Slayers. Thank you for being with us during this holiday season and this year. We appreciate you more than you know. Next week is an exciting, it is kind of one, I think one of the best episodes. So it's going to be part one of Best Of. It's always so difficult to pick those. But I, you know, make sure you listen. Those are great episodes to share because, you know, it's like a little teaser for people who don't listen to the episode. So please make sure you, a Christmas gift for me would be to rate. You can rate on Spotify. You can do that. That is a thing now that they allow. And just keep on keeping on. Thank you for being a listener and bring on 2024. In your name we pray. Until next week, She Slayers. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, She Slayers, are you looking to get your team off the phone and streamline your front desk so you can spend more time doing what you love? SCED has exactly what you're looking for. They will automate all your appointment reminders, missed appointment reminders, reactivation campaigns, allow you to have two-way texting with your patients. Plus, they have a very cool app that your patients are going to love. The app alone saves chiropractors tons of time because it gives patients the flexibility to move appointments to a time that works better for them. Don't worry, you won't lose control of your schedule because you'll have access to all the parameters that keep you still in control. Plus, there's overbook protection, so your schedule won't get out of hand. SCED was created by a chiropractor for chiropractors, so you can rest assured that you're getting the absolute best system for your office. Dr. Eric Kowalki is committed to the chiropractic mission, and he works closely with his developers to always be innovative so that we have the best system available. If you're hesitant to switch to SCED because you already use something else, let me tell you, it's worth every penny. Plus, mention that you heard about it on my podcast and they'll give you a discount. Seriously, it is a game changer. Don't wait.